The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Now, to all the stakeholders keenly monitoring what is happening in Malaysia, I emphasize that Malaysia is open for business.
Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin tells the world Malaysia's state of emergency is not a military coup and there won't be elections until it's over. I'm Olivia Kui. You can subscribe to the Straits Times channel so you never miss a single episode. A state of emergency declared in Malaysia to tackle the COVID-19 outbreak. The country has recorded more than 2,000 new cases daily for the past week and its healthcare system is on the brink of collapse with over 28,000 active cases. In a special broadcast, Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin assured Malaysians that there will be no curfews or military rule. There will also be no parliament or state assembly sittings for the duration of the emergency. But Mr. Muhyiddin said that when the emergency is lifted, a general election will be called. The state of emergency is set to last until August the 1st.
In facing these challenging times, this period of emergency will give us much-needed calm and stability, as well as enable us to focus on economic recovery and regeneration. We remain committed to good governance in these times, and we have a robust and dynamic regulatory ecosystem. We must remember that the government has a six-stage strategy in place for economic recovery since March last year and were incorporated in the budget 2021. Continued stability, of course, will enable us to sustain and build upon the economic recovery trajectory we have been working hard for since last year.
Well, this is what the emergency entails. While it's set to be in place until August 1st, it can be lifted earlier if an independent committee recommends that the pandemic is under control. Civilian government remains in place, meaning there won't be military rule. Government services and economic activities will continue as well. The King can make decrees under the emergency order, like ordering the government to take over private healthcare facilities to relieve strain on public hospitals. The Straits Times' Malaysia Bureau Chief, Shannon Teo, is here to share more. So, Shannon, a two-week movement control order will be imposed in five states and three federal territories. So, how is the emergency order meant to work parallel with the MCO if the state of emergency was indeed called to fight COVID-19?
Well, I think based on Prime Minister Muhyiddin's explanation, what's happening is basically the MCO is about what you can or can't do, you know, the social distancing, the how many people can go in a car and shop for groceries, what kind of businesses can still remain open, whether you can travel interstate, stuff like that. It's more day-to-day routines and regulations and what Malaysians are allowed to do. The state of emergency, if we take the Prime Minister at face value, it's about further things that the government may need to do to address the problem. For example, right now we've got close to 29,000 beds reserved for COVID-19 patients at public health facilities. But as of yesterday, there was only about 120 beds left. At the rate we are going, we won't have enough beds for all the patients. So one of the ordinances that they could proclaim under an emergency is to nationalize, at least for the time being, private healthcare and allow us to have more beds and to ensure that the public healthcare system is not overwhelmed. Other issues that will come into play are the suspension of parliament. This allows the government to enact laws, to make rules simply by executive order. Because the government right now is in a shaky position, it may need to create new laws to, for example, improve the law that the MCO is imposed, that we used to impose the MCO, which is the Prevention of Diseases Act. So if we need to impose higher fines, we need to go and change the law. But in this case, we can just issue a new ordinance saying that instead of a 1,000 ringgit fine, we can fine you 10,000, for example. So these are the things that the government can do under emergency ordinance, which it can't do with just a simple MCO.
Well, we know that the Muhyiddin administration had requested these emergency powers back in October last year to ensure efforts against COVID-19 would not be jeopardized by an increasingly unstable political atmosphere then. Well, the King rejected the bid in October, saying there was no need at the time. He has assented to the government's request. So what does that underscore?
Well, that's even more unstable today than back in October. I think if you're following the political news, three quarters of UMNO divisions have resolved to cut ties with Bersatu, and UMNO is the biggest party in government right now. If they leave the government, obviously, Muhyiddin is deprived of a majority. Now, of late, we've had two UMNO MPs so far, as of this afternoon, who have decided that they're not going to support the Perikatan Nasional government anymore. So that leaves Muhyiddin with 109 out of 220 MPs. So he has effectively lost his majority, if anyone's still keeping count. But he won't have to pass any laws in parliament. He won't have to face any kind of vote right now because he has the emergency declaration. So his government will remain unless someone can gain an audience with Agong and tell the Agong, well, I have more than 109 or more than 110, and you should make me prime minister instead. That's pretty much the only path that any challenger has right now.
Well, Mr. Muhyiddin said that he is committed to holding a general election as soon as the COVID-19 crisis is under control. So off the back of what you just mentioned, what are his critics saying now when it comes to, you know, invoking these state of emergency as being politically motivated?
Well, that's exactly what the critics are saying, that this is an emergency not for fighting COVID, but to ensure that Muhyiddin's government remains in power. So there are some jokes going around about how in 69, we call an emergency to fight against the race riots, to ensure peace in the country. Later on, we had some level of emergency to fight the floods in the East Coast. Today, we're only calling an emergency to save Muhyiddin's government. That's the only reason why. Of course, this is what the critics are saying, but I think generally there's an acceptance that we can't have a general election right now. And because UMNO is agitating to break up the government, how would you ensure that there aren't elections? So for Muhyiddin's government, they feel that the only way is to ask for an emergency. Some might argue and say that, well, we should just convene parliament, have a confidence motion, and see who really can govern at that point. It might be that some of the UMNO MPs finally do support Anwar as prime minister, and Anwar might have the numbers. I think what people want is that we exhaust all the other options before going to an emergency, that an emergency must be a last resort. You know, we have laws, we have various institutions. People are saying that the MCO managed to reduce the number of cases last year. What's different this year? Why is it that the MCO can't work again? Why do we need extra rules or powers to ensure that the cases drop? So there is a lot of criticism of the move. Obviously, the government feels it's necessary. But at the rate we're going, the emergency, the proclamation of emergency today, it is going to be an election issue when elections are finally called. Muhyiddin is promising that when the emergency order is lifted, there will immediately be an election so that the people can finally choose their government. So I expect that whether the rightness or the wrongness of the emergency is going to pop up at the election.
Right. Well, thanks so much for the update, Shannon. Of course, take care over there in Kuala Lumpur. That was Shannon Teo, Malaysia Bureau Chief for The Straits Times. Now you can head to straitstimes.com for the latest from across the causeway.